Shonaka said, O Suta Goswami, you are the most fortunate and respected of all those who can speak and recite. Please relate the pious message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by the great and powerful sage Shukadeva Goswami. Purport. Suta Goswami is twice addressed herein by Shonaka Goswami out of great joy, because he and the members of the assembly were eager to hear the text of Bhagavatam uttered by Shukadeva Goswami. They were not interested in hearing it from a bogus person who would interpret in his own way to suit his own purpose. Generally, the so-called Bhagavatam reciters are either professional readers or so-called learned impersonalists who cannot enter into the transcendental personal activities of the Supreme Person. Such impersonalists twist some meaning out of Bhagavatam to suit and support impersonalist views, and the professional readers at once go to the 10th canto to misexplain the most confidential part of the Lord's pastimes. Only one who is prepared to present Bhagavatam in the light of Shukadeva Goswami, and only those who are prepared to hear Shukadeva Goswami and his representative, are bona fide participants in the transcendental discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. At the end of yesterday morning's class, I spoke a little about demigod worship and how, although we're generally opposed to it, but at the same time it could be considered the better of various evils. If we classify as evil everything that is not full devotional service to Krishna, it gives a Vedic stepping stone or a safety net for persons who are grossly materialistic. So it has some purpose, which can be considered good in a provisional way. So after the class, Madhav Krishna Prabhu started to ask me something about demigod worship, saying, some devotees say about demigod worship, and I cut him out and said, don't tell me. I can understand what's going to come. What is that? Bogus person who would interpret in his own way to suit his own purpose. I'm quoting from the purport here. Twist some meanings to suit and support impersonalist views. So, obviously what was going to be said to me was not what Srila Prabhupada had said and what all the acharyas say. Because if we say some devotees say, then immediately we can understand that they have some opinion which is some interpretation. Otherwise we just say Shastra says or Prabhupada says or the acharyas say. When we say some devotees say, we immediately know that they've got some interpretation. They're taking the philosophy and just twisting it a little bit, not very much, just a little bit. But that little bit is enough to separate us from Krishna. What does it mean? It means that we know what the philosophy, we know what the goal is, but we don't want to follow it, but we don't want to say that we don't want to follow it. We don't want to admit to ourselves that we don't want to follow it, that we're not sincere. So we make some very logical sounding interpretation of it. There are so many things. The gopis were worshipping Katyayani. So we should also worship. For instance, that may be. All right, but the gopis didn't come and teach us Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada came and taught us. He taught us how to worship Krishna. Then we should also stand naked before Krishna. Maybe they will do also. And they say, well, the gopis did it, so I'll do it also. Come in the temple naked and be a gopi that way. Whoops, I shouldn't have said that. Maybe someone will do it now. They didn't think of that one yet. Well, the imagination is fertile. So there may be so many excuses for avoiding pure devotional service, but it's all it's an excuse for sense gratification in various ways. Or it may not be very gross sense gratification, but just avoiding Krishna consciousness and avoiding full surrender. Or it may be Krishna conscious, but it's anyabhilashita yukta. Instead of being free from the desire to be free from all material desires, it's cultivating desires for material enjoyment side by side and somehow thinking that, well, you can get away with it. You chant Hare Krishna, that's all. And we can get away with it. But this is, it's a kind of cheating. Maybe self-cheating, maybe cheating others, maybe deliberately trying to cheat others. Srila Prabhupada here, in talking about the professional reciters of Bhagavatam, he suggests that they're deliberately cheating people because they need to get their income. The wife may chase the professional reciter, get out and do some go and do some more Bhagavad speaking. We have to get our daughter married. You don't just sit at home, you have to bring in some money. And then to be a successful Bhagavatam preacher means you have to speak in a way that people like it and they come back and you get a reputation so that when you go to a place, someone will say, oh, I heard him speak. Oh, very good, you should go. And then you'll get more donations. And then you can manage the family affairs better. Once I was called to a program in Chennai to speak in Hindi, which is unusual in Chennai because it's not a Hindi-speaking area, but it was the business community, Marwaris, Hindi-speaking, a business community, had organized a Bhagavad Sapta as a professional speaker. So I was called to speak something on the last day. So their program was over and we were just going on in the same hall and the idea was that we can catch the same people, something like that. So at the end of the function, almost everyone brought umbrellas because it's stated in Shastra that the kind of things that one should present to a sadhu, one of the things is umbrellas. So there were dozens of umbrellas. Of course, traditionally umbrella doesn't mean this thing that you jerk it up, a telescopic umbrella, but they would be made of cane with a fixed cover. Maybe you've seen the picture of Vamana as a brahmachari holding an umbrella, such an umbrella. So I asked, what do they do with so many umbrellas? They take it back to the shop and sell them wholesale. You can't. What are you going to do with so many umbrellas? So probably the professional speakers don't actually think, yeah, I'm going to go and cheat them. Ha, 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 ha. They don't think like that, but it's just so wired into their system. Just probably the, yes, I was talking about Monsanto, probably the owners or major shareholders in Monsanto, they don't think, let's cheat all the people and poison them and they probably don't think, they say they're doing good by increasing the food supply, and they probably believe it, because mostly people think they're good. People like to think I'm good, even if they're doing the most horrible things. Just like Hiranyakashipu. He accused Prahlad that you've become an enemy of the family. Hiranyakashipu was speaking from the platform of benevolence for the family. Well, he was a rascal. So everyone likes to present that, yeah, actually it's very good, you know. do this, do that, change this, change that. And yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's really good. People like it, you like it, everything's good. And, you know, Prabhupada's very merciful, Krishna's very merciful, so even if you don't follow everything, it doesn't really matter, and like this. And there's so many excuses. Of course, sometimes we hear Srila Prabhupada say that if you're not able to follow everything, then Krishna will help you anyway. But that doesn't mean that, oh, okay, that's good, then I don't have to follow everything. There's a difference in the attitude between someone who's sincerely trying and someone who's not sincerely trying. So yesterday I was also speaking about Mayavad, which Srila Prabhupada also speaks about here, the impersonalists, they take up the Bhagavatam. So I often speak about that, about Mayavad, and we think, wow, so we're getting trained when we meet Mayavadis, but what to speak. But we also have the Mayavad in us. There's a tendency to avoid Krishna, or even the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, instead of keeping it clear, as Srila Prabhupada did, everything clear, just make it somewhat vague. Then when it's vague, then the consequence of having a clear philosophy that we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to avoid this, we have to avoid that, it all becomes murky, and then we can operate in the murky atmosphere and get in the clouds, in the where everything isn't very clear. We can get away with doing things that we shouldn't do if things were clear, just like the thieves like to operate at night. So we should be very careful of this reinterpretation. Srila Prabhupada writes here, only one who is prepared to present Bhagavatam in the light of Shukadev Goswami, and only those who are prepared to hear Shukadev Goswami and his representative are bona fide participants in the transcendental discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have to hear according to the parampara system. And one prerequisite, however willing we are to hear in the parampara, one prerequisite is that the speaker should be in the parampara. So how do we know who's in the parampara? Well, it should be initiated. But that's not necessarily true. One may be initiated by Srila Prabhupada or a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, but he has to actually speak the same message. Otherwise, you're not in the parampara. And then hearing will, that will not help us. That will cause chaos. Shuti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina Aikantaki Hare Bhakti Utpata Yaiva Kalpate. As Srila Prabhupada quotes throughout his books, lectures, he quotes this in one Gita purport, that devotional service, if it's not exactly according to the line as given in Shastra, then it causes, if we don't follow exactly as given in Shastra, then the so-called devotional service is actually a disturbance in the matter of pure devotional service, because then people can't understand what is pure devotional service if that which is represented as pure devotional service isn't. Then we mistake. Adharmam dharam iti ya manyase tamasavrita, stated in the Gita, that non-dharma is taken as dharma by people who are covered by tamoguna. So this is very common. This Mayavad is the prime example of this, that people who think they're advanced spiritualists think that we have to merge into the oneness. This is the ultimate. These people are worshipping God. They're on a lower level. They don't understand that actually everything is all one. Srila Prabhupada calls this way of thinking the last snare of Maya. If one understands that this material world is miserable, we're taking birth after birth after birth, due to material desire, we have to become free from material desire, then we can become liberated. To do that, we have to control our senses. So you do all these things, But then all these things require to get free of Maya, and then they think, ah, now I'm God, or I'm liberated without worshipping. They think, now I can be liberated, but they forget to worship Krishna. Of course, most people, these Neo-Mayavadis, they just think that, well, everything's all one, and ultimately we're all God, and especially I'm God. But without all this stuff about sense control and this material world is miserable, which means that their spiritualism, so-called, it's completely indistinguishable from materialism. So that, as I was saying yesterday, they're impious impersonalists. They're pious impersonalists and impious impersonalists. So it's the last snare of Maya. It means you think, now I'm free, but not free. Kaivalyam narakayate. Srila Prabhupada would often quote this from Prabhodananda Saraswati, that yad karunya kataksha vaibhavatam tam gauram evas dumaha. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who we worship, one who has got even the slight glance of his mercy out of the corner of his eyes, for such a person, he sees impersonal merging as hell. Tridasha pura akasha pushpayate. And the prospect of going to the heavenly planets as being some phantasmagoria, meaningless. Durdant indriya kala sapa patali prudkata dangstriyate. And the senses, which are like dangerous serpents, to such a person, they become no more dangerous than a dangerous serpent whose dangerous fangs have been removed. Vishvam purna sukhayate vidhi mahindradishcha kitayate. For such a person who's got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole world, he sees it as full of bliss. And he sees the position of Brahma and Indra as being no more significant than that of a worm or a bug. Not that disrespect Brahma or Indra, but he has no more aspiration for it than he has for the position of a bug. He's not interested in getting any big position in this world. So these are all quite shocking statements. How can one think that to become merged in impersonal Brahman, free from the sufferings of this world, is just like hell, or maybe worse? It's an extreme statement, because, well, it seems to be extreme. Well, it highlights the extreme mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how merciful he is to deliver us from this impersonal aspiration, that after many, many births of cultivating knowledge, Vedic knowledge and austerity, someone may get liberated. And Prabodhananda Saraswati says, congratulations, you might as well have just gone to hell. So, considering that, I thought I would read through a description of some of the hells described in Srimad Bhagavatam, which we can read, and they're not very nice. Take the children out. They'll get nightmares. They may get nightmares here if you hear about this. Of course, you can just have a look in the newspaper, and it's just as horrible. Really? Horrible things every day in the newspaper. So it is a description of some hells, which we can read through. Well, I'll read through them, and we'll all listen. I'll also listen. And we can read them with the consideration that impersonal liberation, or the aspiration to become one with God, is just as bad or worse. And why is that? Taramadhe mukhabancha kaitava pradhan jaha hoite krishna bhakti hoi antardhan. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, near the beginning, there's a discussion of what is cheating religion, as described in the beginning of Bhagavata. And it's stated that dharma, artha, kama, moksha, the four goals of life, without Krishna consciousness, it's all cheating. And among them, the aim to become liberated from this world, impersonal liberation, that is the worst, because by that aspiration, or and particularly by actually getting that kind of merging, then the whole prospect of Krishna bhakti, Krishna consciousness, is just vanished or vanquished. So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 26, beginning with text 8. My dear king, Shukadeva says to Parikshit, a person who appropriates another's legitimate wife, children, or money is arrested at the time of death by the fierce Yamadutas, who bind him with the rope of time and forcibly throw him into the hellish planet known as Tamisra. On this very dark planet, the sinful man is chastised by the Yamadutas, who beat and rebuke him. He is starved, and he is given no water to drink. Thus, the wrathful assistance of Yamaraj causes him severe suffering, and sometimes he faints from their chastisement. We can also understand that apart from the punishments being on the same level as impersonal liberation, because that the activities which are being described are very sinful. And then we can also understand that the aspiration for impersonal liberation, avoiding Krishna, is equally as sinful. Then, the destination of a person who slyly cheats another man and enjoys his wife and children is the hell known as Andhatamisra. There his condition is exactly like that of a tree being chopped at its roots. Even before reaching Andhatamisra, the sinful living being is subjected to various extreme miseries. These afflictions are so severe that he loses his intelligence and sight. It is for this reason that learned sages call this hell Andhatamisra. A person who accepts his body as his self works very hard day and night for money to maintain his own body and the bodies of his wife and children. While working to maintain himself and his family, he may commit violence against other living entities. Such a person is forced to give up his body and his family at the time of death when he suffers the reaction for his envy of other creatures by being thrown into the hell called Raurava. So someone may say, I have to get a job, I have to support my family, I have to get a job. Oh, there's a job at the abattoir. Ah, okay, well, all right, I'll take it. So he has to do something, but look what he has to suffer for doing that. Or the abattoir may seem extreme, maybe at your local Tesco. That doesn't seem... And there you get the meat nicely packaged in a plastic container, but you're part of the same sinful activity. Delivering... Hello there, good morning! Got the latest, today's supply of meat. Here, you can take it out. All right, okay, thanks. Have a good day. See you later. All very cheerful and all this. Delivering the day's supply of meat to Tesco. Hare Krishna. Another one. In this life, an envious person commits violent acts against many living entities. Therefore, after his death, when he is taken to hell by Yamaraj, those living entities who are hurt by him appear as animals called Rurus to inflict very severe pain upon him. Learned scholars call this hell Raurava. Not generally seen in this world, the Ruru is more envious than a snake. Punishment in the hell called Maharaurava is compulsory for a person who maintains his own body by hurting others. In this hell, Ruru animals known as Kravyada torment him and eat his flesh. So you may think if they eat his flesh, well, that's it, finished. But no, it grows back again, and then they have to suffer again. The pain goes on. For the maintenance of their bodies and the satisfaction of their tongues, cruel persons cook poor animals and birds alive. Such persons are condemned even by man-eaters. In their next lives, they are carried by the Yamadutas to the hell known as Kumbhipak, where they are cooked in boiling oil. Yeah. I've seen that. Cooking creatures alive. In Bangkok on the streets, I was in Bangkok for some time. Thailand, capital of Thailand. Krung Thep, the city of gods, is the Thai name. So it's a common saying there that there's a wok with hot oil on the street in a push cart. And there's a jar of live grasshoppers, which they just empty into the boiling oil. And then people come and they buy it and they eat it. Stinks. And crack, crack, you can hear it. Dimak. Very nice. They think it's very nice. Very sinful. So the killer of a brahmana is put into the hell known as Kala Sutra, which has a circumference of 80,000 miles and which is made entirely of copper. Heated from below by fire and from above by the scorching sun, the copper surface of this planet is extremely hot. Thus, the murderer of a brahmana suffers from being burned both internally and externally. Internally, he is burning with hunger and thirst, and externally, he is burning from the scorching heat of the sun and the fire beneath the copper surface. Therefore, he sometimes lies down, sometimes sits, sometimes stands up, and sometimes runs here and there. He must suffer in this way for as many thousands of years as there are hairs on the body of an animal. If a person deviates from the path of the Vedas in the absence of an emergency, the servants of Yamaraj put him into the hell called Asi Patravana, where they beat him with whips. When he runs hither and thither, fleeing from the extreme pain, on all sides he runs into palm trees with leaves like sharpened swords. Thus injured all over his body and fainting at every step, he cries out, "Oh, what shall I do now? How shall I be saved?" This is how one suffers who deviates from the accepted religious principles. In his next life, a sinful king or governmental representative who punishes an innocent person or who inflicts corporal punishment upon a brahmana is taken by the Yamadutas to the hell named Sukharamukha, where the most powerful assistants of Yamaraj crush him exactly as one crushes sugarcane to squeeze out the juice. The sinful living entity cries very pitiably and faints, just like an innocent man undergoing punishments. This is the result of punishing a faultless person. By the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, low-grade living beings like bugs and mosquitoes suck the blood of human beings and other animals. Such insignificant creatures are unaware that their bites are painful to the human being. However, first-class human beings, brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas are developed in consciousness, and therefore they know how painful it is to be killed. A human being endowed with knowledge certainly commits sin if he kills or torments insignificant creatures who have no discrimination. The Supreme Lord punishes such a man by putting him into the hell known as Andhakupa, where he is attacked by all the birds and beasts, reptiles, mosquitoes, lice, worms, flies, and any other creatures he tormented during his life. They attack him from all sides, robbing him of the pleasure of sleep. Unable to rest, he constantly wanders about in the darkness. Thus in Andhakupa, his suffering is just like that of a creature in the lower species. That's very interesting, isn't it? Because that means that in the lower species, it's also a hellish situation. One's also suffering. A person is considered no better than a crow if after receiving some food he does not divide it among guests, old men and children, but simply eats it himself, or if he eats it without performing the five kinds of sacrifice. After death he is put into the most abominable hell known as Krimi Bhojan. In that hell is a lake 100,000 yojanas, 800,000 miles, wide, and filled with worms. He becomes a worm in that lake and feeds on the other worms there who also feed on him. Unless he atones for his actions before his death, such a sinful man remains in the hellish lake of Krimibhujan for as many years as there are yojanas in the width of the lake. My dear king, a person who in the absence of an emergency robs a brahmana, or indeed anyone else, of his gems and gold, is put into a hell known as Sandangsha. There his skin is torn and separated by red-hot iron balls and tongs. In this way his entire body is cut to pieces. A man or woman who indulges in sexual intercourse with an unworthy member of the opposite sex is punished after death by the assistance of Yamaraj in the hell known as Tapta Surami. There such men and women are beaten with whips. The man is forced to embrace a red-hot iron form of a woman, and a woman is forced to embrace a similar form of a man. Such is the punishment for illicit sex. A person who indulges in sex indiscriminately, even with animals, is taken after death to the hell known as Vajrakantaka Shalmali. In this hell there is a silk cotton tree full of thorns as strong as thunderbolts. The agents of Yamaraj hang the sinful man on that tree and pull him down forcibly so that the thorns very severely tear his body. A person who is born into a responsible family, such as a kshatriya, a member of royalty or a government servant, but who neglects to execute his prescribed duties according to religious principles, and who thus becomes degraded, falls down at the time of death into the river of hell, known as Vaitarani. This river, which is a moat surrounding hell, is full of ferocious aquatic animals. When a sinful man is thrown into the river Vaitarani, the aquatic animals there immediately begin to eat him, but because of his extremely sinful life, he does not leave his body. He constantly remembers his sinful activities and suffers terribly in that river, which is full of stool, urine, pus, blood, hair, nails, bones, marrow, flesh, and fat. The shameless husbands of low-born Shudra women live exactly like animals, and therefore they have no good behavior, cleanliness, or regulated life. After death, such persons are thrown into the hell called Puyoda, where they are put into an ocean filled with pus, stool, urine, mucus, saliva, and similar things. Shudras who could not improve themselves fall into that ocean and are forced to eat those disgusting things. If in this life a man of the higher classes, brahmanas, kshatriya, and Vaishyas is very fond of taking his pet dogs, mules, or asses into the forest to hunt and kill animals unnecessarily, he is placed after death into the hell known as Pranarodha. There, the assistants of Yamaraj make him their targets and pierce him with arrows. A person who in this life is proud of his eminent position and who heedlessly sacrifices animals simply for material prestige, is put into the hell called Vishasana after death. There the assistants of Yamaraj kill him after giving him unlimited pain. If a foolish member of the twice-born... Anyway, I won't read this. You can read it yourself if you like. In this world, some persons are professional plunderers who set fire to others' houses or administer poison to them. Also, members of the royalty or government officials sometimes plunder mercantile men by forcing them to pay income tax and by other methods. After death, such demons are put into the hell known as Saramayadana. In that planet, there are 720 dogs with teeth as strong as thunderbolts. Under the orders of the agents of Yamaraj, these dogs voraciously devour such sinful people. A person who in this life bears false witness or lies while transacting business, or giving charity, is severely punished after death by the agents of Yamaraja. Such a sinful man is taken to the top of a mountain 800 miles high and thrown headfirst into the hell known as Avichimat. This hell has no shelter and is made of strong stone resembling the waves of water. There is no water, however, and therefore it is called Avichimat. waterless. Although the sinful man is repeatedly thrown down from the mountain and his body broken to tiny pieces, he still does not die, but continuously suffers chastisement. Any brahmana or brahmana's wife who drinks liquor is taken by the agents of Yamaraj to the hell known as Ayapana. This hell also awaits any kshatriya, vaishya or person under a vow who in illusion drinks somaras. In Ayapana, the agents of Yamaraj stand on their chests and pour hot melted iron into their mouths. A low-born and abominable person who in this life becomes falsely proud, thinking, I am great, and who thus fails to show proper respect to one more elevated than he by birth, austerity, education, behavior, caste, or spiritual order, is like a dead man even in this lifetime, and after death he is thrown headfirst into the hell known as Kshara-kara-mattama. There he must suffer great tribulation at the hands of the agents of Yamaraja. There are men and women in this world who sacrifice human beings to Bhairav or Bhadrakali and then eat their victim's flesh. Those who perform such sacrifices are taken after death to the abode of Yamaraja, where their victims, having taken the form of rakshasas, cut them to pieces with sharpened swords. Just as in this world the man-eaters drank their victim's blood, dancing and singing in jubilation, their victims now enjoy drinking the blood of the sacrifices and celebrating in the same way. In this life, some people give shelter to animals and birds that come to them for protection in the village or forest, and after making them believe that they will be protected, such people pierce them with lances or threads and play with them like toys, giving them great pain. After death, such people are brought by the assistance of Yamaraj to the hell known as Shulaprota, where their bodies are pierced with sharp, needle-like lances. They suffer from hunger and thirst, and sharp-beaked birds such as vultures and herons come at them from all sides to tear at their bodies. Tortured and suffering, they can then remember the sinful activities they committed in the past. Those who in this life are like envious serpents, always angry and giving pain to other living entities, fall in after death into the hell known as Dandashuka. My dear king, in this hell there are serpents with 5 or 7 hoods. These serpents eat such sinful persons, just as snakes eat mice. Those who in this life confine other living entities in dark wells, granaries, or mountain caves are put after death into the hell known as Avata Nirodhana. There they themselves are pushed into dark wells where poisonous fumes and smoke suffocate them, and they suffer very severely. A householder who receives guests or visitors with cruel glances as if to burn them to ashes is put into the hell called Paryavartana, where he is gazed at by hard-eyed vultures, herons, crows, and similar birds, which suddenly swoop down and pluck out his eyes with great force. One who in this world or this life is very proud of his wealth always thinks, I am so rich, who can equal me? His vision is twisted, and he is always afraid that someone will take his wealth. Indeed, he even suspects his superiors. His face and heart dry up at the thought of losing his wealth, and therefore he always looks like a wretched fiend. He is not in any way able to obtain actual happiness, and he does not know what it is to be free from anxiety. Because of the sinful things he does to earn money, augment his wealth, and protect it, he is put into the hell known as Suchimukha, where the officials of Yamaraja punish him by stitching thread through his entire body, like weavers manufacturing cloth. My dear King Parikshit, in the province of Yamaraj there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned and also those I have not mentioned must all enter those various planets according to their degree of impiety. So that gives us some idea of what it's like to be an impersonalist, a hellish consciousness, and hellish destination, what they think is very good merging into the impersonal Brahman. by devotees seeing it as worse than hell, because at least in hell maybe you can remember Krishna, but in impersonal Brahman there's no remembrance of anything. It's like a comatose situation. Hare Krishna. Any question, comment, any such thing? Yeah, please. If someone has an ISKCON guru, but he doesn't know he's in the parampara, you mean someone's an ISKCON guru, a guru within ISKCON, but they don't preach according to the parampara, but the disciple doesn't know. Well, he's responsible to know. He should know also. Ignorance is no excuse. We're supposed to read these books, understand. Before accepting a guru, one is supposed to know what he's doing. So there are so many cheaters, gurus. I'm not talking here specifically about ISKCON, but there's so many. So they mislead their followers. So the follower may think, well, I didn't know, I just follow my guru. But one should have enough sense not to follow someone who's cheating. You say, my guru said, well, one should first see who is the guru who can deliver us from darkness to light. Agyanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. We offer obeisance to the guru because he removes the darkness of ignorance. So if one is not doing that, then he's not a guru. And one should be very careful in the matter of accepting a guru. That's stated in the Ishopanishad, isn't it? That those who misrepresent the message of Shastra, they enter under Tamisra, one of these hells, and the followers go with them. Anything else? Yeah. We should spread Vedic culture. It's part of Krishna consciousness. To go along with Krishna consciousness, yes? Yeah. This is for people who cannot accept Krishna consciousness? Is this for people who cannot accept Krishna consciousness? Well, Vedic culture is meant for all civilized human beings. Without accepting that varnashram dharma, then one is not considered actually civilized. So, for persons who are in Krishna consciousness, for persons who are maybe in Krishna consciousness at different levels, maybe even some people are not in Krishna consciousness. Although, there are different perspectives on that. One perspective is that without Krishna consciousness, everything is useless. That's the actual transcendental perspective. Dharmasya pungsang vishvaksena katasu yaha not padya dhyadiratim shrama eva kevalam. Whatever we may do, if we're not Krishna conscious, it's all useless. But, as I mentioned this morning, the Vedic culture, for persons who are not in Krishna consciousness, the Vedic culture acts as a stepping stone to come to Krishna consciousness and a safety net to stop us falling very deeply into very severely sinful activities. So it has its usefulness. even for persons who are not in Krishna consciousness. In Vedic culture, people generally think Ayurveda and Bharatanatyam dancing and Bollywood dancing. That's not Vedic culture. But more important factors of the culture are acceptance of the Vedas, respect, offering respect to elders, gurus, sadhus, brahmanas. These are more important factors than Bharatanatyam dancing. That's not a very important factor. Hare Krishna. Hmm. Yeah, go ahead. How to relate to modern society, that a man who enjoys the wife and children rather than the man is sinful. Wife is abandoned by her husband and left as a single mother. Married again. These things are all uncivilized, actually. The whole society is uncivilized. First of all, a man shouldn't be allowed to abandon his wife. That's the first thing. But in modern society, it's allowed. And wives should be trained that the husband won't want to abandon her. Also, that's another point. Therefore, we need Vedic culture. Trying to adjust within the present society, it's a disaster. It's like learning yoga while you're on a sinking ship, so you can have a healthy body. But anyway, they're going to die when the ship sinks. So as Srila Prabhupada writes, the whole society needs overhauling. How to adjust it to modern society? Modern society is a total disaster. We have to set up our own society with our own culture. It means Krishna's culture. In the meantime, what do you do? It's a mess. It's a complete mess. Our devotees also, they have no idea what it means to live according just to basic human culture. Many of them. Srila Prabhupada writes about that. There's one here in the fifth canto. There's talks about human beings who are like monkeys who jump from one partner to another. And Prabhupada talks about monkey-like disciples, because he had so much experience of that. What can you do? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada was so much wanting to introduce this Vedic culture so that people could at least be human beings. But really, it seems many of our devotees have no idea what it means just to live a normal life. What would not, even a short time ago, even the Catholics and the Protestants in Ireland, they might fight with each other, they'd eat meat and everything, but they get married and they never think of abandoning their wives or abandoning their husbands or divorcing, remarrying. It just wasn't there. It wasn't part of the culture. So society's gone down a long way. But they think that we've improved a lot. Now it's much better. So total overhaul is needed. In the meantime, we have dozens of weird, almost everyone's in some weird situation. And we just have to deal with them as best as we can. But it's a horrible situation. So many devotees in horrible situations, many times of their own making, because they just don't know what it is to live as a human being. the husband and wife will fight, and so many things. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Govinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.